When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
So, Vic, do you think you might have ADHD?
Well, listeners keep emailing me, telling me that they think I do, so probably.
Mind you, listeners also email us saying we talk too much about your mum's feet, so what do they know?
Yeah, fair enough.
I honestly had no idea about the connection between overdrinking and ADHD until we started this podcast.
About 40% of people that have had any sort of drinking issues also apparently have ADHD.
Whenever we chat to ex-drinkers, this comes up more than you'd believe. If you have ADHD or suspect you might, or just want to learn about this link, then we would encourage you to check out the I Have ADHD podcast.
It's the place where adults with ADHD find research-based information, validation, and tons of support.
This is the best way to feel less alone and hear some of the answers to the questions you've been sitting with for too long. You'll hear detailed descriptions of what it means to have ADHD and enjoy interviews with the foremost experts in the industry so that you don't have to read those ADHD books that are collecting dust on your shelf.
Yeah. Listen to the I Have ADHD podcast and learn how ADHD affects every aspect of your life, from the boardroom to the bedroom.
In the podcast, you'll also hear about their ADHD coaching program, which is called Focused. Focused is made up of three pillars: courses, coaching, and community. It is designed to help you build your own self-improvement program and is perfect for the ADHD brain.
And you can get $50 off the course just by using the code SOBER, S-O-B-E-R. So if you're tired of feeling stuck and don't know where to start, listen to the I Have ADHD podcast.
I mean, sober sex. Luckily for me, it's never really been an issue because I was married when I got sober, so it's never really been that bad. I must say, my libido probably isn't as high as it used to be. I have three young kids running around.
Yeah.
Me and my husband pass each other in the hallway with bottles of milk and give each other a peck on the cheek. You know, that's kind of the chapter of our lives that we're within at the moment. It's just so hectic, but we try and make time for each other and we do our best. And, you know, sex is lovely because, you know, we love each other and we don't, you know, resent each other, or there's no weirdness because we know each other so well. And he loves my body. I'm very lucky, and you know, my body is not 100% perfect. Whose is his? But so, you know, it's fine. It works out okay. But I cannot imagine being sober and having sex with somebody I've met on a date. For me, even just thinking about it, like showing my body to somebody that I've just met, or even if it's the 10th date, I imagine feeling so self-conscious. Like, I just cannot imagine. I think I would avoid it, actually. Yeah. How was it for you?
All of those things you say.
Yeah, right. Shit.
All of those things you say. So, you know, I mean, the first time you have sex with someone, that's usually quite a daunting thing anyway.
Yeah. Unless you're drunk.
Especially, that's what I mean. Yeah. So when you're, it's daunting even when you are drinking.
Yeah.
But then to do it with, which is sort of completely unbridled and.
Did you use bridles?
Oh, giddy up. All the secrets are coming out, aren't they?
Like
accidentally. Freud would have a field day. Freud would have a field day. But, you know, just that thought of being naked in front of someone for the first time is, particularly when you've had kids, you know, and it's pretty scary. It's pretty scary. And it is. And sex is something that for me changed completely after I got sober, in that I didn't really revere it in any way. And why it was just sort of something like it's a fun thing to do. Whereas when you're sober, there's much more, it feels much more meaningful.
Mm-hmm.
And especially with a new partner, it's kind of like you're giving each other a gift to see the other person in this really vulnerable
state. It's so vulnerable. That vulnerability is what it is. It's
like,
here I am.
Yeah.
This is me. I'm sober and this is my body. And, you know, can we
And can we get it over quickly, please? Because I'm shooting myself.
Can we wham bam? Thank you, ma'am.
Can we just get the first one out of the way?
Yeah, and then pass me the Netflix controller because I need to relax,
decompress after this. This one's, you know, built up. But
it's funny what you say about the mummy bodies as well. A lot of our listeners are women in their 40s, and I think that would be an issue for me because my body's changed so much since having three kids. I think I would be very, very self-conscious about my flappy bits and my wobbly bits and things. And I know you shouldn't be,
flappy bits.
I think at first I would be, and it would take me time to get used to the fact that, you know, people love all bodies, all shapes and sizes, of course. Men do, and it would take me a while to get my head round and to start to embrace my body and theirs, quite honestly.
Yeah, and I think also, you know, if you're dating someone who's around the same age as you, then they've probably experienced other women with mummy bodies.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't be, you know, but so what I'm hearing you say is that you're probably going to go for a stud 20 years younger.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping for.
And that he's not going to have been exposed to the mum bods.
No, he'll be like watching porn on the internet all the time and expect
amazing.
Some like bald eagle. To say it politely.
The full nothing.
Yeah, and I don't know. I think they would probably run a mile, quite
nipple
honestly.
Nipple tassels.
Yeah.
The whole bit.
Nipple tassels and the works, yeah. It's such a different, I was going to say ball game, but that now doesn't sound right. But it's so different depending on your age, this sober sex thing.
Yeah.
It depends how, you know, how far along you are with your sobriety and also with your maturity, how you accept someone else or the differences in them and the changes that they've made and how their wrinkles make them more wise or more, you know, it's looking at these things and understanding that these are assets. They're not things that are wrong with someone. These are their assets. This is who they are. My mummy tummy is because I had 3 C-sections.
Yeah.
That's who I am. I've got a bit of a fold over, but that's because I created 3 lives. And it's things like that. Mm. As people mature, you start to understand and realise that you have this body for a reason and it's an incredible vessel that should be respected. And when you're sober, I think people are more respectful of that.
And I think part of that's age as well, because you do tend to get a bit more accepting of your body as you get older.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, you're less self-flagellating. And look, let's face it, the guy's in the same boat. I mean, we have this thing that, like, the guy's coming along to this with huge amount of confidence. Well, if he's sober as well in particular, he's going to be incredibly worried about the size of his manhood and his, you know, his little bit of a gut and his, you know, men have stretch marks too. You know, all sorts of things. He's going to have just as many insecurities about his body, I would say.
Yeah, I think that's a really good message, is to just, like, if you do, you are in that situation, just remember that they're going to feel the same way.
And look, most men are just happy to get laid.
Yeah,
I think so. I really don't think they're looking that hard.
Yeah.
I think they're just like, my God, there's a naked woman there.
Yeah, let's get to it.
Let's get it on.
Sex can be an incredibly vulnerable experience for most people. For people who struggle with alcoholism, the desire to dull out some of the more uncomfortable feelings associated with sex, like fear, anxiety, self-awareness, sober people tend to avoid it for as long as humanly possible. There are lots of sober eunuchs wandering around gagging for a shag, but are too overly worried to do it.
There are.
To help those shy sober souls get back on the horse with that bridle and that whip.
Oh yeah, baby.
Let's look at some of the reasons why sex is actually a lot better for you and your date when alcohol is off the menu.
Well, I think number one, as I kind of alluded to earlier, is the fact that you don't tend to, and this is no judgment to people that do want to jump in quickly, but you don't tend to rush into it so quickly. So by the time you do actually get down to it, that anticipation, baby, you know, like, there's a lot of frisson that's built up, and that's actually quite exciting to have to wait a little bit. Whereas, you know, I was, prior to being sober, probably, you know, a few couple of dates and if that.
And you don't get to experience that excitement then, do you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Deciding to step out of the comfort zone is scary, but it can also be thrilling. That's exactly what we're saying. Growing your confidence in this department will help you for the next time. Practice makes perfect. So you keep going. Even if you're vulnerable and you hate your body in that first situation and you feel like it went really badly, it's great to be vulnerable and show yourself to someone, because the next time you do it, you're going to feel that, even if it's a tiny bit, you're going to feel a little bit better about yourself. And if you keep doing it, in the end, you're just going to be like, right, here I am. Let's do this. Yeah, growling.
Although I would say that this is sort of merely an extension of the whole, if you think about it, the whole sober journey, everything about it is uncomfortable at the beginning.
Yeah, everything. That's why it's called sober awkward.
Yeah. Yeah. And so this is just a sort of an extension of that, that, you know, will get easier with time. Like all the other elements of your sober life, your new sober life, it all gets easier over time. And this is, you know, it's the same with this. So don't fear if you're absolutely terrified and you think it's never going to happen for you. Just, you know, take it as you at your own pace and keep pushing yourself a little bit out of your comfort zone.
Yep, just a little bit each time.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So, Vic, do you think you might have ADHD?
Well, listeners keep emailing me telling me that they think I do, so probably.
Mind you, listeners also email us saying we talk too much about your mum's feet, so what do they know?
Yeah, fair enough.
I honestly had no idea about the connection between overdrinking and ADHD until we started this podcast.
About 40% of people that have had any sort of drinking issues also apparently have ADHD.
Whenever we chat to ex-drinkers, this comes up more than you'd believe. If you have ADHD or suspect you might, or just want to learn about this link, then we would encourage you to check out the I Have ADHD podcast.
It's the place where adults with ADHD find research-based information, validation, and tons of support.
This is the best way to feel less alone and hear some of the answers to the questions you've been sitting with for too long. You'll hear detailed descriptions of what it means to have ADHD and enjoy interviews with the foremost experts in the industry so that you don't have to read those ADHD books that are collecting dust on your shelf.
Yeah. Listen to the I Have ADHD podcast and learn how ADHD affects every aspect of your life, from the boardroom to the bedroom.
In the podcast, you'll also hear about their ADHD coaching program, which is called Focused. Focused is made up of three pillars: courses, coaching, and community. It is designed to help you build your own self-improvement program and is perfect for the ADHD brain.
And you can get $50 off the course just by using the code SOBER, S-O-B-E-R. So if you're tired of feeling stuck and don't know where to start, listen to the I Have ADHD podcast.
Mm. Yeah. So sobriety means you stop having sex just to please. I mean, that's an important point. For me, it was never my choice. And what I've written here is your body, your choice. Sex will become about what you want, not because you feel like you should. In my past, my classic people-pleasing thing was to have sex with somebody because I thought that's what they wanted from me.
Yeah.
There was never a point where I thought, I like this guy, I want to have sex with him.
Yeah.
It was more like, will he like me? Mm-hmm. And can I get that validation of him? And I'm going to give him my body to show that I feel okay now. So it was like having sex with someone was a kind of feeling of love that I got, even though he left the next day and probably gave me a venereal disease. It was still like a little love hit.
Yeah.
And those love hits become a little bit addictive. When you feel like someone likes you enough to have sex with you, then that's a good feeling. And then in sobriety, of course, I realise how wrong that is now. I'm like, oh my God, what was I doing to myself, allowing men to fornicate with me for my own sort of mental health? It's really fucked up.
Yeah. Well, it's just the validation, isn't it?
It's just the validation to creating it, and being so desperate for it. So, I was having sex to please others, where in sobriety, you can have sex to please yourself.
Yeah, I think a lot of women will be able to relate to that. I know certainly that was my experience as well. And I think, you know, I was talking to a client about this morning, that the whole sober thing is putting you back in the driver's seat of your life.
Yeah.
And that is I get to decide when I want to have sex.
Yeah.
That's part of it.
Yeah.
And I get to decide what I want my life to look like. And I get to decide, you know, what my boundaries are and all of those things. And this is another part of that. And mm-hmm. you're not just going along with it because you think that that's wanted, you know, that's what is sort of the thing that you should do or that because yeah. someone else wants to. You're like, hold on, do I want to?
What do I want
no,
to do? Yeah.
Actually, I don't.
Yeah, you've got to internalise it, haven't you, almost? Yeah. You go, this is what I want as a woman or as a man. This is what I want and this is what I feel comfortable with. Because you don't want to wake up regretting something. You know, yeah. you may as well be drinking again if you're waking up regretting everything. Yeah. You've got a choice now. You have the choice to live without regrets. And that's yeah. something that is wonderful. Because you don't need to wake up in the morning. If you've done something out of your own choice with a clear mind,
yeah.
there's no need for regret and shame and guilt and all those awful things that we experienced in our drinking days.
Yeah.
You get up and go, I made a good choice for myself yesterday. He might have been a shit shag or this might have happened or that, but I made it, whatever choice it was, with a clear brain and a clear mental state. And that's really, really important.
Yeah. And even if that is that, yeah, I do still want to continue having one night stands. More power to you. Great. Yeah. That's a decision that you're making for yourself. And you're making that with a clear head and deciding that that's what you want on yeah. your terms.
Yeah.
Great. Go for your life. You
totally.
Know, so I think... you know, you definitely feel less like a, for me, one of the things that I used to do was the whole swinging from the chandeliers routine yeah. and porn star, you know, freaking, oh my word.
I don't know who we were trying to impress in those days with those crazy, you know, hanging off the chandelier moves. I don't know what we were thinking really, but we're just not our, you know, we're crazy banshees that are drunk. We're not our normal selves. So
no.
of course we're going to do things that are out of character.
You know.
And of course we're going to have shame and guilt and panic attacks the next day because those flashbacks to those moments when you're, I don't know, doing all those awful things, putting on that show, it's not a pretty sight, is it?
No, whereas I think when you embark upon the sex side of things when you're sober, you have, you know, I remember in the beginning that it was like, wow, all these sensations
yeah.
and that connectedness with the other person
yeah.
and like... You know, it just felt because you numb yourself out when you're drinking, don't you? And that can mean that, you know, you don't have as many orgasms and things, you know, you don't have the sensation. So when you're doing it completely sober, you're really much more tuned into each other and, you know, the sensations are heightened.
Yeah.
But I know that some people do struggle with the sex side of things after they stop drinking. Just give yourself a little bit of latitude. Your whole body's recalibrating. Everything's recalibrating. It's a lot of change at once. That first year, there's so much change and you can be all over the place. You're fine one minute, you're all over the place the next. So just give yourself a little bit of a break and a bit of self-kindness while you sort yourself out.
Yeah. Gosh, it is a strange journey that we go on because we've been doing drinking for like 25 years. So that's all we know, or 30 years. All we know is this crazy style of sex or this crazy way of having relationships. And that's what sobriety is. It's about an entire new life.
Yeah.
And it's about learning all these tricks and tools to do it in the safest and the best way that you possibly can that makes you comfortable without regret and with your self-respect. It seems sober sex might not be as wild as it was when we were wasted, Faye. There were nowadays there's not as much kind of that swinging off the chandeliers and screaming and bum sapping. I don't know.
Well, I don't know about you, yeah. but I'm still including those in my...
Okay, excellent. Yeah. I can assure you the only bum slapping I get is my kids when I get out of the shower. But it does sound like it's much more enjoyable sober. And you get to remember every squishy minute of it. I mean, there's no point in having sex in a blackout, is there? You forget all the good bits.
Not really,
no. So now that cheeky sex bit is out of the way and we understand that the best thing you can do is do it again and again and again, practice and be confident and be yourself.
Yep.
Let's go over some dating do's and don'ts to our listeners so that they can feel more confident when stepping out into the sober scene. I think one of the most important things here, Faye, is to be upfront like you were on your Tinder profile we talked about. You know, be upfront and be honest on that first day or even before and tell someone that you are sober or that you are an alcoholic or whatever choice of words you use. You're sober curious. You are an ex-pissed, you know, booze bag.
I used to say
whatever.
Teetotaler.
Yeah, teetotaler, whatever you want to say.
But they didn't always pick up on it.
Right.
But Vic, the thing about that is that not everyone's comfortable having that conversation.
No.
So as always, you do what's right for you.
Yeah.
But it just can be a useful conversation to have or something to put out there in advance because you want to be on the same page at the end of the day.
Totally.
I'd also recommend deciding or having some idea before the date whether you're willing to date a drinker or not.
Because it's a big one.
If they don't know that you are sober and you go on the date, and if it's like anything like my previous dates when I was a drinker, you know, you're six wines in before the dinner's even been been served. So if you're out on a date with someone and that's what happens, how are you going to handle that? And that doesn't mean you need to discount drinkers at the outset, but, you know, it's good to feel your way with that one, I think, as we spoke about earlier.
Yeah, don't choose a loud venue or somewhere that might trigger you. You know, you don't want to be going to nightclubs or your old pub that you used to go to, you know, your favourite haunt. You don't want to go to places that are going to be overwhelming and noisy and busy. You know, on your first date with someone, especially when you're sober, you want to find a cozy corner somewhere to have a nice, you know, a nice chat where you can hear each other talking and it feels like there's no pressure in the room. There's no other people like bumping into you and spilling your drinks and doing all that kind of stuff that you used to do when you were a drinker. So just make sure you choose the right place.
Yeah, because you want to actually get to know each other. That's that's really, really important. And do make sure, and this is the case whether you're a drinker or a non-drinker, someone knows where you are. So make sure they've got, you know, where you're going. And, you know, you could even have a sneaky call in the middle of the day or a text as a get-out option for you if you needed an escape plan.
Yeah, especially if you're meeting someone on Tinder or something.
Yeah.
It makes sure you've got even a sober buddy that can... you know, knows where you're going, knows what you're doing, knows your plans and knows, you know, exactly your destination so that if anything goes tits up, you've always got an escape plan.
Yeah, and you can also send them a screenshot of the guy you're going to meet and things like that too.
Okay. So take a time out is a good point. Head to the toilets and restart after a few deep breaths. You know, if it's not going well or if you just need a moment to recalibrate, go and take 5 minutes. Go into the toilets or onto the deck or wherever you are and take that moment out. It will just make you feel better. And if you fancy doing a runner, then that is an option.
Yep. And it's an option many of us have considered.
Yeah.
Change up the date. So make it an adventure rather than a dinner, sitting over a table, looking at each other, which can be the most awkward. So you can do, you know, there's nothing wrong with picnics, breakfast, walk, cinema, scooters around the city, anything that's going to spark conversation. I feel like it's less daunting if you're not sitting face to face for the first date.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, and check that menu as well when you're choosing a venue. Try and get an AF drink option if you can, because that's always handy. It takes the awkwardness out. And we know we like having a treat when we're out, don't we?
Yeah.
I love
absolutely.
Having an AF beer when I'm out. So, yeah,
do that. You deserve a treat.
Yeah.
This is a key one. Remember, you're here to find out if you like them, whether they like you. This is what the whole point of dating. And so you get to see them, the real them, much quicker. And in sober dating, and so each date is really great practice until you meet the right one. So take the focus on, oh my God, what do you think I'm this? What do I think I'm that? To actually, do I like him?
Yeah. That is so good. That is so true. Because you get it's so into your own brain, don't you? It's like, am I going to say this? What am I going to say wrong? Is he going to like me? Whereas in fact, the point is, does he like you? But do you like him?
Yeah.
Like really sit there and be in that moment and take the time, even in that time out when you're in the toilets and go, right, how do I want the rest of this date to go? And how do I feel about this guy? And as I said, recalibrate yourself and check in with yourself and go, right, this is going well and this is what I want from it. So you're going to go get back out there and feel more confident again because the ball is in your court and you're able to control yourself because you're sober. If you're questioning your relationship with booze, you're struggling to moderate, or your hangovers are causing anxiety, it might be time to reach out for some support.
Yeah, just talk to a mate about how you're feeling, contact a local doctor, find an AA or sobriety group. Vic's got one.
Yeah, just head to kappa.community.
Remember, if you're questioning yourself, it might be time to seek support.
Even though this journey can be awkward, it is definitely worth it. And if you've enjoyed the Sober Awkward podcast, don't forget to review it, rate it, and share it with your mates.
Do they have to share it with their mates?
Yeah, of course they do. I'm not doing this for nothing, Hamish. Bloody hell.
How do they share it?
I don't know, just write it on the...
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
So, as you probably know, my comedy memoir, A Thousand Wasted Sundays, is officially out. All my magnificent fuckuppery in one awkward hit. If you'd like to get your hands on a copy, it's now available from all good bookstores.
We always say all good bookstores, don't we? Yeah. Are there bad bookstores?
I don't know. It's probably ones with moody sellers.
Oh yeah, really yeah. Depressed librarian folks.
Yes, okay, yes, good, yeah. Good. So there are probably some, but we're only storing it in the good ones.
It's only made it into the goodies.
You can also get it from all good online retailers. The print version and ebook are out now, and the audiobook will be available in March. I've been writing my memoir for 5 years. It will make you laugh, cry and cringe, and hopefully inspire a few people to reconsider their relationship with booze. If you love the podcast, then I think you'll love the book, even if I do say so myself. Hamish has read it. What did you think?
I feel like I know a little bit too much about you now, to be honest, Vic. Look, I really loved it. It was hilarious and surprisingly moving, but I feel like I've seen you naked in a literary sense.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's worrying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From an emotional point of view, seriously, it wobbled my teeny weeny wooden heart, Vic.
Okay.
My teeny little wooden heart.
Well, his teeny little, his wooden heart is broken. Anyway, so if you do manage to get your filthy mitts on a copy, please do me a favour and head to goodreads.com and give me a review. Doing that will help me get it out there to those that need a bit of sober support. So there you have it. My story, unwanted warts and all. Come and get awkward with me.
Not to be too demanding or anything, but seriously, go and buy it now.
Yeah, go and buy it. Go and buy it right now.
Yeah, don't just tell your friends. Buy it and then buy your friends one or two.
Yeah, yeah, don't give them a copy. Yeah. Buy it, yeah.
And you know what? Don't be careful where you store it. If you lose it, you can always buy another five.
Yeah, buy another one.
Yeah.